Everybody loves a good drubbing. Even when it is your team on the end of the mauling, there's a somewhat morbid fascination about what fate has befell your side. Manchester United have secured two of the three biggest wins in Premier League history, with the Red Devils having sealed both the first and last of the 9-goal victories, 26 years apart. So we have gone through the history books and delved into the data to bring you the stories of those games. At the end of this episode, I'll be back with insight into where you can read more great storytelling like this. But first, please listen to The Biggest Premier League Thrashings by Matt Furness.
Second-place Manchester United hosted relegation-threatened Ipswich Town at Old Trafford in March 1995 on the back of a shock 1-0 defeat to lowly Everton at Goodison Park a week earlier. United were without the talismanic Eric Cantona, as only five games prior, he'd inexplicably kicked a fan in the chest in their 1-1 draw at Crystal Palace.
Oh, what's going on here? Cantona's getting involved with some supporters. Oh, this is outrageous.
Cantona had been involved in a club-high 18 goals in 21 Premier League appearances before the incident, and United were dealt a further blow when their league top goalscorer Andre Kanchelskis, with 13 goals, handed in a transfer request on the eve of this fixture. Alex Ferguson was forced to deploy an out-of-form Mark Hughes, who'd scored just 5 goals in 22 league appearances in 94-95 prior to the game, partnering him with new signing Andrew Cole. Cole had scored just 2 goals in his 6 league appearances for United, following a shock move from Newcastle for a then British transfer record fee of £6 million. Including his time at the Magpies, Cole had netted twice in 12 Premier League games coming into this match, and the pressure was on him to find the goals in Cantona's absence.
Yellow. Oh, it can stay in play. Giggs charged it down, and he can continue the run right into the penalty area. And there are hordes of red shirts arriving, and one of them was Andy Cole. And they've lifted the roof off Old Trafford. What a super goal.
He did just that, finding his scoring boots to net 5 times in this game. Ipswich Town, who defeated United 3-2 at Portland Road earlier in the season, had a torrid afternoon, and Cole became the first player to score 5 goals in an English top-flight game since October the 29th, 1983, when both Ian Rush and Tony Woodcock managed it on the same day. Spare a thought for goalkeeper Craig Forrest, who conceded 9 on this afternoon and then went on to concede 7 more in a 7-1 defeat to United at Old Trafford for West Ham in April 2000. Peter Schmeichel, in the United goal on the day of the 9-0 thrashing, only conceded once all season at Old Trafford in his 17 Premier League appearances there, that goal coming in the final match there in 1994-95, with Southampton's Simon Cholton ruining an impeccable record with just 85 minutes left to go in United's home campaign. The Tractor Boys' starting 11 that day had an average age of 30 years and 58 days, one of only 2 times in their Premier League history that they've named a side with an average age of 30 plus. Their experience certainly didn't pay off against the rampant Red Devils on this day. This defeat dented Ipswich's confidence, and they were to go on to win just 4 points in the remaining 11 games before finishing bottom of the league and 18 points from safety. Manchester United gained ground on Blackburn Rovers after this win, having reduced a 3-point gap to just 1 point come the end of the 94-95 season, but it wasn't enough to stop Rovers winning their first top-flight title in 81 years. It seemed like something had to give at St James's Park on Sunday, September the 19th, 1999. Both Newcastle and Sheffield Wednesday had started the season terribly, winning 1 point each, and with Wednesday propping up the table below the Magpies on goal difference only. This was the late great Bobby Robson's first league home game in charge for Newcastle, having taken charge 2 weeks previously, losing to a single goal in his first game away at Chelsea. 3 days prior to the fixture against the Owls, Robson helped United pick up their first competitive victory of the 99-2000 season, with a good 2-0 away win against CSKA Sofia in the UEFA Cup, and that proved to be the springboard that they needed to get their first league win of the campaign. Newcastle's previous Premier League home game had seen them lose 2-1 to rival Sunderland in torrential rain. It was a defeat that ended Ruud Gullit's one-year reign at the club. The defeat was bad enough, but leaving striker Alan Shearer on the bench for the time where derby was never going to end well for the Dutch boss. Shearer only scored 15 times in 32 Premier League games under Gullit, but reached 33% of that tally in a single match under Robson, as he netted 5 goals for the first and only time in his 441-game Premier League career. The all-time leading goalscorer in the Premier League scored 11 hat-tricks in the competition overall, but this was the only one of those that was scored entirely in the first half of a match, as he had the match ball to take home after only 42 minutes.
Catch by it. Space for Dyer, who's fully recovered. If he can keep the ball in play, he can. The lack of defensive cover means that he can get on the end of it. Shearer on a hat-trick! A picture-book goal to wrap up the first half of Newcastle United. And Alan Shearer starts Bobby Robson's Tyneside reign with a hat-trick in a basement battle to end them all.
Scoring a first-half hat-trick was a very September 1999 thing for Shearer to do. Just 15 days earlier, he'd scored 3 goals inside the opening 34 minutes of England's 6-0 win over Luxembourg at Wembley. He only ever did this once more in his career, in a February 2003 Champions League win over Bayer Leverkusen. Newcastle went on to improve drastically and finished the campaign in 11th position, with Shearer scoring 23 Premier League goals. Only Kevin Phillips at Sunderland netted more that season with 30. Sheffield Wednesday ended a 9-year spell in the top flight at the end of the campaign. With 23 defeats, they suffered their worst top flight season since 1969-70, when they suffered 25. And they haven't been back in the Premier League since. We had to wait a whole 10 years for the next Premier League win of 8 goals or more, but Wigan Athletic then spoiled us with 2 in the space of 6 months. The first of these was a second half capitulation at White Hart Lane on a Sunday afternoon in November 2009. 50 minutes into the match, Spurs led 1-0, with Wigan Athletic probably thinking that with a little luck, they could come away from North London with a point. Jermaine Defoe put pay to that, with a 51st minute strike and then a further 4 goals in the next 36 minutes to fire Spurs to an astonishing 9-1 victory.
Huddleston. Touch. Defoe's in here. Can he finish it again? Oh, you bet he can! He's got 5!
Tottenham are still the only team in Premier League history to score more than 6 goals in a single half of a game. And Defoe is the only player in the competition to have scored 5 goals in a single half. Wigan goalkeeper Chris Kirkland saved both of Defoe's first half shots on target, but had no such luck in the second period, with the diminutive striker scoring with all 5 shots fired at his goal. The Peter Crouch-Jermaine Defoe strike partnership worked well for Spurs that day. Overall in the history of the Premier League, the pair spent a total of 3,786 minutes on the pitch together, across spells at both Tottenham and Portsmouth. They scored a combined 44 goals in that time, with 27 coming for Defoe and 17 for Crouch. A productive ratio of a goal every 86 minutes for the little and large pairing. Come the end of the season, this victory helped Spurs secure 4th position and a place in the UEFA Champions League qualifiers at the expense of Manchester City. They may have scored just one more goal in their following 9 Premier League games combined than they did on this afternoon at White Hart Lane, but this victory certainly made people more wary of the potential this Spurs attack had under the management of Harry Redknapp. As if one 8-goal deficit in London wasn't enough in a single season for Wigan fans, Roberto Martinez's side gave another astonishingly inept defensive display just 6 months later, this time in an 8-0 defeat to Chelsea. Chelsea had won their last home game 7-0 against Stoke City in April, and in the previous month had enjoyed a 7-1 victory at Stamford Bridge versus Aston Villa, so it was an ominous trip for Wigan's side that had already conceded 47 goals in their previous 18 league away trips in 2009-10. That bad feeling wasn't misjudged. A Didier Drogba hat-trick across 17 second half minutes contributed to this emphatic win, with Wigan not helped by being reduced to 10 men following Gary Caldwell's dismissal on the half-hour mark. These three goals helped Drogba reach a career-best 29 goals in 2009-10 and win the Premier League Golden Boot ahead of Wayne Rooney on 26 goals, while teammate Frank Lampard picked up two assists and ended the season with a league-high 14 overall. Both players helped contribute to a total of 103 Premier League goals for Chelsea in 2009-10, at the time the highest tally of goals scored by a side in a top-flight English league season since Spurs in 1962-63, who scored 111. This record has since been broken in the Premier League era by Manchester City in their amazing 106 goal tally in their 100-point season of 2017-18. This victory sealed the title for a Carlo Ancelotti Chelsea side who held a one-point lead over Manchester United coming into the final Sunday of action. Knowing a victory in this match would see them win the Premier League for the third time overall, the Blues finished their season off in style. Amazingly, of the 9 wins by a margin of 8 goals or more in Premier League history, this is the only one by a team that went on to win the title that season. In winning 8-0, they also sealed the biggest margin of victory in their league history, a standalone record until just 2.5 years later. One 8-0 win wasn't enough for Chelsea, so they had to replicate the feat just 2.5 years later. Aston Villa were the victims this time around, with the Blues giving their fans an early Christmas present to take home with them from Stamford Bridge. Villa travelled to Chelsea on the back of a 5-game unbeaten run in the Premier League and were buoyed by a brilliant 3-1 away victory at Anfield against Liverpool just a week previous. Paul Lambert's side would soon come back down to earth with a bump, however, as they came up against a Chelsea side in the mood for goals. New boss Rafa Benitez had only taken charge a month earlier following the sacking of Roberto Di Matteo and had already begun to steady the Chelsea ship with just one defeat in his first 4 league matches in charge coming into the pre-Christmas matchday visit of Villa. Fernando Torres had enjoyed a brilliant month under his fellow Spaniard, scoring 6 times in 5 competitive games in December.
In front, Azpilicueta, Torres with the header and Chelsea in front! 2 minutes played, Fernando Torres with a terrific header. It's his 14th goal of the season, and there was no hesitation here.
He was to start the rout on this day before further goals from David Luiz, Branislav Ivanovic, Frank Lampard, Oscar, Eden Hazard and Abraham Ramirez. With 7 different Chelsea players scoring, the Blues set a new Premier League record for the highest number of players in a single team scoring within a match. A record that could have even been extended had Lucas Piazon converted a late penalty with what was his only ever shot in his only ever Premier League appearance. For Aston Villa, this was, and remains, their all-time club record defeat in a competitive fixture. They've only ever conceded 8 goals in one other match, an 8-1 defeat to Blackburn Rovers in the 1888-89 FA Cup. Chelsea equaled their best ever victory in a league fixture, with their 2 8-0 efforts just 959 days apart. They haven't managed to replicate this since, or in the 105 years prior to the first 8-goal win over Wigan Athletic in 2010. Ahead of this match, Southampton manager Ronald Koeman states in his pre-game press conference that it will be difficult because Sunderland are strong opponents with a good defence and organisation. This proved to be only slightly off the mark as Sunderland were demolished at St Mary's Stadium in October 2014. A spectacular volleyed own goal from Sunderland's Santiago Vergini in the 12th minute set the tone for a comical afternoon defensively for the Black Cats, as they were to concede 7 more times with 3 own goals overall.
Long look to nick in behind him, but Catamol did really well. Saints win it back. Schneiderlin trying to get forward, chips it over the edge of the box, and then a ridiculous own goal! Santiago Vergini has just smashed it into his own net from 12 yards out. David Merrington and me are looking at each other thinking, did that really happen? And the big Argentine has just hit the half volley as sweetly as any striker would be happy with and given Saints the lead.
Liam Bridcutt and Patrick Van Aanholt added to Vergini's own goal to see Sunderland equal their own Premier League record of 3 own goals in a single match, a record set in February 2003 versus Cholton Athletic, No other club has scored 3 own goals in a Premier League game once, yet Sunderland have done it twice. Every club needs an ethos. This was Sunderland's 4th defeat by a margin of 8 or more goals in English top flight history, following thrashings against Sheffield Wednesday in 1911, West Ham in 1968, and Watford in 1982. The only club to have lost more in this manner are Birmingham City, with 5 such defeats. Following this match, Southampton were 3rd in the Premier League table after 8 match days, and despite showing how strong they are in attack on this Saturday afternoon, it was their mean defence with a league low 5 goals conceded that was the launchpad. 15% of their entire goal tally in the 2014-15 Premier League season came in this single match, but their mean defence remained. Just 33 goals conceded all season, with only champions Chelsea conceding fewer, with 32, and the Saints finished a very respectable 7th place. Watford travelled to Manchester City to face reigning Premier League champions in their 6th game of the 2019-20 campaign, but with their 2nd manager of the season already in the dugout. Quique Sanchez-Flores had returned for a 2nd spell at the Hornets, following the sacking of Javi Gracia just 2 weeks previously. Gracia was denied an opportunity to avenge the 6-0 2019 FA Cup final thrashing at the hands of City just months before. But for Watford players, it was business as usual against the Premier League giants, as they suffered another capitulation. Their previous 7 meetings with Watford had seen City outscore the Hertfordshire club by 31-3, and Pep Guardiola's side had no issue with adding another 8 to their tally on a balmy afternoon in Manchester. After just 18 minutes, Manchester City led 5-0. That's the fastest that a side in Premier League history has ever been 5 goals ahead in a game.
Taken quickly, and Aguero's onside, number 5! Otamendi's on the score sheet! This is crazy!
Compared to an average of a goal conceded every 3.5 minutes, the final 72 minutes were a success for Watford, conceding just 3 more times, if you can consider that a success. City secured their biggest win in their top flight league history, while this was Watford's heaviest ever defeat in English league football, and only the 3rd occasion that they've conceded 8 goals in a Football League game, after 8-1 defeats to Aberdare Athletic in January 1926 and Crystal Palace in September 1959. Flores lasted 84 days at Watford this time around, and was one of a record 3 managers to be sacked by the Hornets in 2019-20, alongside Javi Gracia and Nigel Pearson. His was probably the most deserved, having won just 1 game and 7 points in his 10 matches in charge. Ahead of October 2019, Leicester City had never won a Premier League match on a Friday, with 5 defeats in their 7 games on that day. In fact, they played more games on that day of the week without winning than any other side in the history of the competition. They were about to end that run in style. Only 2 games in Premier League history have seen a team have 2 hat-trick scorers in the same match. Robert Pires and Jermaine Pennant both scored a treble for Arsenal in their 6-1 win over Southampton in May 2003. And in 2019, it was Saints that suffered the same feat again in their 9-0 defeat to Leicester City. Jamie Vardy and Ayoze Perez netted hat-tricks this time around during the win at St Mary's Stadium, the biggest ever victory by an away side in an English top-flight league game.
And lays it to the right-hand side of Youri Tielemans. Tielemans down the line for Ricardo. Ricardo thinks about crossing. Instead, he plays it back to Maddison, who gets it back to Wilfred Ndidi somehow. Chilwell and Barnes now exchange passes on the edge of the box. Barnes clips it into Perez. Great touch!
Oh.
What a goal! Ayoze Perez has a hat-trick, and it's a historic night. Leicester City have hit 6 in the Premier League for the first time ever.
Perez's hat-trick meant that he'd scored trebles in successive Premier League appearances against Southampton, having also done it for Newcastle United 6 months previously. In doing so, he became the first player to do this in back-to-back Premier League appearances against a single opponent since Luis Suarez versus Norwich City in September 2012. Just like that Manchester City 8-0 win over Watford a month earlier, this game saw Leicester leading 5-0 at half-time. This was the 91st game of the 2019-20 season, and a side leading 5-0 at half-time had already happened twice in the campaign, something that had only occurred two times in 10,506 matches across the first 27 Premier League seasons before this. One consolation for Southampton boss Ralph Hasenhüttl was that it surely couldn't get this bad for him in his Saints side again, could it? As if one 9-0 humiliation wasn't enough for Southampton and Ralph Hasenhüttl, they suffered a repeat nightmare just 15 months after that thrashing at the hands of Leicester City. Old Trafford witnessed its second 9-0 scoreline in Premier League history, but this time around, Manchester United were heavily assisted by a red card to Alexander Jankiewicz just 1 minute and 22 seconds into the match. He didn't manage a single touch of the ball before his attempted tackle on Scott McTominay, and he certainly didn't manage a single touch of the ball after the tackle. Seven different United players scored in the night, with this equaling a Premier League record for the club in a single game, level with Chelsea's feat against Aston Villa in December 2012. The other player to score for the Red Devils in this thrashing was Southampton defender Jan Bednarek. He later completed a unique hat-trick in the game, with a penalty conceded and a red card, for which the ban was later rescinded, as he became the first player in Premier League history to do all three in a single match. If you include Bednarek's own goal, then it was the first time in Manchester United's club history that eight different players scored for them in a competitive fixture, eclipsing seven in their 1892 10-1 victory over Wolverhampton Wanderers. Southampton came into this game in 11th position and became the highest placed side to suffer such a thrashing in the competition. Spare a thought for their midfielder James Ward-Prowse, who was the only player to play the entirety of the two 9-0 defeats just 15 months apart against Leicester and United this day.
That was The Biggest Premier League Thrashings, written, researched and presented by Matt Furness, with music from Audio Network, archived from Sky Sports, LCFC TV, Spurs TV, Southampton FC, Manchester City TV and NUFC TV, and produced by me, Graham Bell. This has been a production for The Analyst, home of data-driven storytelling, which features great in-depth articles from across the sporting world, as well as specialised data visualisations and some tricky quizzes to show off your sporting knowledge to your friends and family. All of this is on theanalyst.com now, and why not give us a follow on Twitter and Instagram too? You will find us at OptAnalyst. You can continue to get lost in the reads from The Analyst by subscribing on your preferred podcast application, like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and many others. And we would also love for you to rate and review the show. In the next episode, I will be settling in for a conversation about all things Matthew Le Tissier and the impact he left on Southampton FC. But until then, it's so long from everyone at the Reads from The Analyst.